scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Thus far we read the divinely inspired and infallible word of truth. The text for the sermon this morning is verses 32 and 33. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing Jesus Christ demands a promise. If we will confess the name of Jesus, we must have from Jesus a powerful saving promise, because confessing him is difficult and painful. Perhaps we are not so inclined to suppose this morning that confessing Jesus is difficult and painful, because the whole atmosphere surrounding this confession this morning is one of joy and celebration. Some two, nearly 3 years ago, the Lord brought into our midst as a congregation a young woman who knew almost nothing about the Bible. This morning, she has confessed her faith in Jesus Christ and, as an adult, received baptism, symbolizing her union with Jesus Christ and His church. As we look back at the past this morning, there's encouragement. As we stand in the present, there's joy and celebration. And as we look to the future, there's hope and optimism and encouragement. Miss Wigfield has confessed her faith in Jesus. The whole atmosphere this morning is one of joy and celebration, and it's pleasant to the experience. Therefore, we might not be so inclined to suppose that we need a promise from Jesus if we confess His name, because confessing His name will be difficult and painful. But it is. The atmosphere one day long ago, according to Matthew chapter 10, was quite different. And that was the day when Jesus took His 12 disciples and taught them about a confession of faith and commissioned them to go forth and preach His name and told them some of the things they ought to expect. And Jesus said, "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." That's a little different atmosphere. Danger. Jesus said, "Beware of men." Danger. Jesus said, "They shall deliver you up." Danger. He said, "Ye shall be hated of all men." Danger. And Jesus said, "But when and not if." Not if, but when they persecute you. Danger. And then He said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men." And that didn't sound so pleasant to the experience and so encouraging, giving optimism and hope, but it sounded frightful and painful. However, Jesus does not simply warn His disciples about the dangers that they will face and then expect them to confess His name. He knows their fears. He knows their natural weakness, and by nature they will be inclined to shrink back when the danger comes as they confess Jesus. He knows that. So He not only tells them not to be fearful, and that's the immediately preceding context, verses 26 through 31. He not only tells them not to be fearful, but He gives them a powerful saving promise. "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father which is in heaven." And that's the promise of Jesus to us this morning. I will confess you. Don't be surprised if you face difficulties and animosity and enmity for confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's to be expected. This atmosphere of joy and celebration and embracing of one another will not always be the atmosphere. But do not be afraid. Certainly, do not deny Him, verse 33. But do not be afraid. Be encouraged and be confident. For as you confess Jesus here on earth before men, He confesses you in heaven before His Father. And that's His promise. Let's consider this word of God that comes to us in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33 this morning under the theme, Jesus' promise to His confessors. We notice three things. First of all, Jesus' confessors. In the second place, Jesus' cross. And then third, Jesus' confession. In the text before us this morning, Jesus gives a promise to those who confess Him, to His confessors. "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men." To confess Jesus is publicly to acknowledge with the mouth the truth about Jesus and that one belongs to Him personally
in love. True disciples confess Jesus. True believers, true children of the Father confess Jesus. Confession is speech. The word confession in the text comes from a word that has two parts, and one part of the word means to say. That's part of the word confession. In order to confess, one must say. One must use the tongue. Something must come out of the mouth. There must be something that other people can hear. That's a confession. A confession comes out of the mouth. So that true disciples of Jesus Christ not only love Jesus in their hearts and believe in Jesus in their hearts and trust in Jesus in their hearts and long for and hope for Jesus in their hearts and not only meditate upon and contemplate and ponder Jesus in their hearts, but true disciples speak with their mouths. That's a confession, to speak with the mouth. If one does not confess Jesus, if one does not speak, if one does not say and open his mouth, what right does he have to suppose that he is a disciple of Jesus? Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, says Jesus. We confess Jesus. We confess Jesus. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. Not Caesar, not the Antichrist, not Buddha, not Allah, not Mohammed, not the president, not our earthly father or mother or brother or sister, not a celebrity, not a sports hero, not the Super Bowl MVP, not Peter himself, confessing Peter. We do not confess self. John does not confess John. A disciple of Jesus confesses Jesus. Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me, we confess Jesus. That means we must speak the doctrinal truth about Jesus. The word confession, as already noted, is composed of two words. One of the words means to say. The other part of the word means the same thing as. That's what confession means and is. A confession is to say the same thing as. The disciples knew exactly what that meant. To confess Jesus means you say the same thing as Jesus. In order to confess Jesus, you must say about Jesus the same thing as Jesus says about himself. And Jesus said much about himself. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and especially John. Jesus was always saying as he preached, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. On and on and on, I. In order to confess Jesus, one must confess about Jesus what Jesus says about himself. That's a confession of Jesus. So one must know the doctrinal truth about Jesus. And that's true for us also. In order to confess Jesus, we must know what the Word, Jesus is the Word. We must know what the Word, what the Bible says about Jesus. We must know doctrinal truth. In order to confess Jesus, we must know God's eternal plan and decree concerning Jesus. In order to confess Jesus, we must know God, the one true living God who is the God and Father of Jesus. In order to confess Jesus, we must know the Old Testament and all of the promises concerning Jesus. How can one confess Jesus if he doesn't know anything about the Old Testament? In order to confess Jesus, we must know the great redemptive acts of Jesus. His incarnation, born of the Virgin Mary into the flesh. We must know his cross, the crucifixion of Jesus, and the power whereunto it is unto salvation. We must know the resurrection and all the fruits of these redemptive acts. His ascension, the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. We must know the kingdom of Jesus Christ, its vastness, its glory, its nature, doctrine, truth. Of course, we must know man, man's sin, man's guilt before God and Jesus as the only Savior for man. In order to confess Jesus, we must know the doctrinal truth of His Word so that we can say about Jesus the same thing as Jesus says about Himself. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. However, to confess Jesus is not simply to say doctrinal truth about Jesus, but it is publicly to acknowledge that one belongs to Jesus and loves Him personally. A confession of Jesus is not simply an objective statement. A confession comes out of the mouth, of course, but that arises out of the heart. Solomon said, out of the heart are the issues of life. A confession must come from the heart whereby one loves this Jesus. Notice in the text, Jesus does not say, whosoever therefore shall confess that. Other places in Scripture say that. That's necessary. Whosoever therefore shall confess that Jesus is or does. But that's not what the text says. The text says, whosoever therefore shall confess me, confessing Jesus personally in love. And even as the great contrast to a confession, which is a denial, verse 33, whosoever shall deny me, even as the great contrast to a confession is a denial in which one says, I do not know Him, I do not belong to Him, I do not cleave to Him, I do not love Him. So a confession is the opposite, saying, I do love Him, and I do belong to Him, and I do follow Him with my heart. I cleave to Him. That's a confession of Jesus. It's not simply an objective statement of truth, but it's a personal love for Jesus out of the heart, so that to confess Jesus, one does not simply say, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity made flesh and therefore very God. An unbeliever can say that. But it is to say, Jesus is my God and my Lord. To confess Jesus is not simply to say Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners from their sins. An ungodly, reprobate man could take that statement upon his lips. To confess Jesus is to say He died on a cross and with His precious blood hath covered all of my sins. To confess Jesus is not simply to say Jesus has followers and they deny themselves and they follow Him in love and even at a great cost. Anyone can say that. To confess Jesus is to say, I love Him and I will follow Him and I will deny myself. And if the whole world be against me and even those close to me hate me for it, I will follow Jesus. That's a confession of Jesus. To confess, I belong to Him personally in love. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. We must confess Jesus. The promise of the text is to confessors. Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him, and that is him and only him, will I, and then comes the promise. The promise of Jesus is only to confessors, and the implication is that if you do not confess Jesus but deny Jesus, in fact, it's not even a mere implication. It is so strong and necessary that Jesus explicitly states it in verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The promise of the text comes only to confessors. The promise of the text comes to confessors. Jesus does not say, whosoever therefore shall love me, whosoever therefore shall believe in me with their heart, Whosoever therefore shall go to a church which proclaims me. No. Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me. A confession is necessary. If anyone says, I don't need to make a confession of faith, I love Jesus in my heart. I do not need to make a confession of faith with my mouth because Jesus in heaven knows that in my heart I love him. Then he has no right to say, Jesus has a promise for me. Not true. The promise comes to confessors. Confess Jesus before men, before all men, ungodly men at work, in the university, in the gym, on the field, in the hospital, in the extended family, as Jesus gives opportunity. As he gives opportunity, confess him before all men. And that begins right in the church with a public confession of faith. The disciples would go out one day, read the book of Acts, and confess the name of Jesus the world over, the whole Mediterranean world. They would do that one day, but first, they publicly confessed him among themselves as the 12 and in Israel, the church. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. First in the church and then to the whole world, they confess the name of Jesus. We must confess Jesus. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. And then the promise. Nearly 3 weeks ago, Miss Wigfield appeared before the consistory of elders and confessed her faith. She opened up her mouth and she spoke of that which was in her heart. And she gave an indication that she's not only been taught the truth about Jesus for the last couple of years, she learned it. She learned it. And she confessed her love for Jesus and her determination to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. She made a confession of faith. And now this morning in public, in summary form, a confession. In the text, Jesus gives a promise to his confessors. May all those here this morning who have already confessed their faith in Jesus publicly in the church keep confessing Jesus. May all those here this morning who have not yet confessed Jesus continue to aspire to confessing Jesus. And if there is anyone here this morning who has not confessed Jesus and has no desire to confess Jesus, may the Holy Spirit use this word of the gospel to give you that desire to confess Jesus. There's a promise in the text. The promise comes only to Jesus' confessors. Confessing Jesus is not easy. It is difficult because if we confess Jesus as he requires, we will have to carry a heavy cross, a cross of persecution, suffering for Jesus' sake. Confessing Jesus means he will give to us a cross. Jesus does not simply say in the text, whosoever shall confess me, but he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me. And that word therefore calls into view the whole preceding context, most of which speaks of danger. Furthermore, Jesus does not simply say in the text, whosoever therefore shall confess me. But Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, and literally we read before the men. And the context makes very clear who are the men. The men are the persecutors. They are the wolves of verse 16. They are those people who will take you and bring you to the ecclesiastical authorities, verse 17, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. The men refer to the governors and kings, the civil authorities, verse 18. The men refers to all persecutors in general, verses 22 and 23, ye shall be hated of all men, but when they persecute you, and they just might be those of your own household. Verses 34 through 37, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The men. Why will they hate you? Because they hate Jesus. Verse 18. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verses 24 and 25, especially the end of 25, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Why will they hate you? Because they hate Jesus. Why do they hate Jesus? All these men. Because of that cross. Because of that cross, men, natural man, hates Jesus because of Jesus' cross. It's either a laughingstock, quit talking to me about the cross, or a stumbling block. I will be saved, but not through that cross of Jesus Christ. It's either a laughingstock, and they laugh, or it's a stumbling block, and they become angry and reject it. Man hates Jesus because of Jesus' cross. You know what the cross says? The Holy God hates sin. And you must hate your sin. You know what the cross of Jesus Christ proclaims? It proclaims the Holy God hates sin so much he will punish it with everlasting death. You know what the cross of Jesus Christ says? It says that Jesus Christ, the bloodied, mocked, ridiculed, hated, suffering servant hanging there from that cross is the gracious and merciful God's atonement for sin, and outside of him is eternal damnation. That's what the cross says. Believe in Jesus, or you shall perish. That's what the cross says. And man despises the cross. Man will tolerate Jesus. If you take his cross away, then any man can tolerate Jesus. He's just another man. But man hates Jesus because of his cross and the message of the cross of Jesus, so much so that man even hates a piece of wood if it's in the shape of a cross and on a hill or on the corner of the street, and they go to city council and say, take down that cross. But it's not the figure, it's not the piece of wood, it's the truth of the cross. And therefore, man hates Jesus, and you belong to Jesus, therefore men hate you. And so Jesus says in verse 38 now, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. To confess Jesus doesn't mean simply that we speak, but we will have to carry a cross. A cross. And that cross is not death. It's not pain, it's not disease, it's not suffering, it's not all kinds of trouble in general in your life. That's not your cross. Affliction in general, that's not your cross. The cross you must bear and I must bear is the suffering and reproach and persecution to be endured for Jesus' sake. By confessing Jesus, man will hate you as Jesus' disciple. And that's your cross to carry. You don't have to. You don't have to carry a cross. If you don't want men to hate you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, then you stop speaking of Jesus. It's that simple. Deny Jesus and you will have no cross to carry. But do remember, beloved, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus gives a promise in the text, and it's to his confessors, and they are the ones who carry that cross he gives them, suffering for his sake. It may come at the hands of the church authorities. The men of the text may be the church authorities. There may come a day in your life, my life, when the church becomes so corrupt that men take us before the consistory, before the classes, before the synod, before the diet, as was the case with the reformers. And as we confess the doctrinal biblical truth of Jesus, we are reproached or beaten or imprisoned or killed. Naboth the Jezreelite confessed, and the church of that day stoned him. Peter and John made a confession after Pentecost, preaching in the name of Jesus, and they were hauled before the Jewish Sanhedrin and told to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, but they would not, and they were thrown in jail. Stephen confessed Jesus, and the Jews stoned him. Not the world, the church. Paul would not be silent concerning Jesus, and into nearly every city he went, the Jews of the synagogue would harass him and chase him and try to kill him. The pre-reformers like John Huss and John Wycliffe, or the reformer like Martin Luther and hundreds of others were called before the ecclesiastical courts of the Roman Catholic Church, and they were mocked or ridiculed or worse, beaten and imprisoned or tied to a stake and burned, exactly as Jesus said. But they knew the truth of the text and they loved Jesus and they knew what Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. And they did, they confessed him with that cross. Confess him. The men of the text may be the civil authorities. There may be a day when we are taken before the governor, before the king, before the local judge, before the president. Paul was often in various cities taken before the civil authorities, and at the end of his life, Caesar Nero martyred, killed him. So Paul died a martyr at the hands of the ungodly. 21st century America is becoming less and less tolerant of anything having to do with Jesus and the clear biblical truth of Jesus. And one, for example, might be a businessman and called before the civil authorities. Confess him. Confess Jesus, the truth of Jesus, with your cross. The men of the text may be all men in general. Wherever God's providence takes us throughout the day, confess Jesus. At work, at school, while you travel, while we shop, while we go to the doctor's office, while we exercise. There may not be bodily persecution, but there are dirty looks, and there are sneers, and there are taunts. And when the children are singing the Psalms, for example, in the grocery store, there may be a dirty look. Confess him. Confess him and bear that cross. The men of the text may be those people of your own house, your own blood family. That's not my word either. That's Jesus' word. In verses 34 through 37, confessing all the truth of Jesus and living that confession may mean division with your own father. It may mean an ongoing battle and enmity with your own mother. You might not be able to speak to your mother-in-law, your brother, your sister. And that's not easy. That's hard. That's a cross you have to carry for Jesus' sake. Confessing Jesus might mean a divided house. You have to choose Jesus or your family. Family who do not confess Jesus and believe in Jesus. And Jesus says, if you don't love me more than your father and mother, you're not worthy of me. You might have to make a choice, Jesus or family. And by the grace of God, you say, Jesus, always and forever, Jesus. But that's not going to go over well. Treason. You betrayed me. We're of the same blood. You betrayed me. Don't deny him. Don't choose family over Jesus. Whosoever shall deny me, confess him. And your cross might be opposition in your own household. Confess him, carrying your cross. The promise of the text comes to Jesus' confessors who carry the cross Jesus gives them. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. That's not easy. That's difficult. But Jesus knows that. And now listen to his promise. I will confess you. That's Jesus' promise. Jesus promises that he will do something personally for us. And what he promises to do in the text, 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. What Jesus promises to do, he will not only do on the last great day of judgment, but even now, every day, he will confess us before the Father, which is in heaven. This belongs to Jesus' work as our advocate. The scripture teaches that Jesus Christ ascended up to God's right hand. It is now in the presence of the Father, our advocate. And he speaks on our behalf. And one part of that work as an advocate, according to this text, is that Jesus confesses us before his Father. He confesses us. That means he speaks. Jesus not only loves us in his heart, but a confession is speech. And so Jesus speaks us in heaven. He confesses us. That means he says the same thing as another. His Father. His Father. From all eternity, the Father elected his people and wrote their names in the book of life. Revelation 3, verse 5, Jesus says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In the book of life, from all eternity, God has written down the names of his people. Jesus confesses. That means he says the same thing as he says what the Father says. What's in the book of life? Why is that necessary? If the names are already in the book of life, why would Jesus confess them? Because of our sin and our guilt and our transgressions, legally according to his justice and ethically according to his character, God cannot receive us and approve of us and welcome us into his fellowship, even though our names are written in his book of life. He cannot receive us into his fellowship unless we be cleansed from our sins. And Jesus is now in the presence of the Father confessing us. This one is mine. I died for him. I shed his blood. I shed my blood for him. Father, receive him for my sake. And the Father does. Jesus confesses us before the Father. Personally. Whosoever therefore shall confess me personally before men, him personally will I also confess before my Father. Jesus doesn't simply confess us in some cold, objective way, but he confesses us from the heart, and he does so personally in love. He says, James, before the Father in heaven, Jesus says, James, I love him. I died for him. I shed my blood for him. Receive him, O Father. He says, John, John, I died for him. I love him. I shed my blood for him. Receive him. That's what Jesus says in heaven. He says your name before the Father. I love him. I love her. He confesses us before his Father, which is in heaven. Confession is never easy. Confession is always difficult and always requires a cross, and that for Jesus too. In order for Jesus to earn the right to stand before the Father in heaven and confess us, he had to bear a cross, and he had to confess us already on earth before men, persecutors, wolves, councils like the Sanhedrin, governors like Pontius Pilate, those of his own household, the household of Israel, who rejected him, those who ridiculed him and mocked him. He confessed us, and then he had to go to the cross itself, where God, the one who is to be feared because he can destroy both body and soul in hell, verse 28, poured out upon Jesus all the destruction of his hellish wrath for our sakes. Jesus took all of our sins and went to the cross, and God the Father poured out his wrath and his punishment upon Jesus for the sake of his people, that we might never know that cross, God's wrath and punishment. We will never know it. The people of God, never. Jesus bore his cross and now confesses us before the Father in heaven, and there's nothing more important than that. Having that promise. If Jesus does not confess your name before the Father, that means one day you will have to stand before the Father and explain your sins. Actually, that's not quite true. Because according to the text, the one doing the speaking is not you or any man. According to the text, the one who does the speaking in heaven is Jesus. And it's not simply that a man will have to stand in the judgment day and explain his sins, but he will simply have to listen to Jesus. Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So it will sound like this. Judas Iscariot, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And there are those who go around with the name of Jesus on their lips, and they say, "Lord, Lord, we've healed and we've cast out devils and we prophesied." And Jesus will say, "I never knew you. Whosoever therefore shall confess me," yes, 33, "whosoever shall deny me shall be denied." There is nothing more important than that Jesus confesses you before the Father. And if that's not important to you today, it will be one day. Are you afraid? Are you worried? Are you alarmed? What if I fail? What if Jesus puts me in a situation where I have to confess him before men who hate me and I fall and I deny him? Are you worried? Don't be worried. Don't be worried. You will confess him. Jesus' confession of you does not depend upon your confessing of him. Jesus does not confess you because you confess him. If that were the case, Jesus would be silent in heaven because there is no one who would confess him. He would have no name to confess. But it is in the way of, it is through our confessing of him that we may have confidence he is confessing us. On the morning of the crucifixion, Peter may have no confidence that he's a disciple and that Jesus confesses him as he denied Jesus. No confidence. But you know, Jesus died for him an hour or two later and restored him, and Peter would be sent out one day and he would preach the name of Jesus the world over, and in that way, he may have confidence that Jesus is confessing him. It's not because we confess Jesus that he confesses us, but it's in the way of our confessing him that we have confidence he is confessing us. And we will, because it's not even our work. When we confess Jesus, it's not even our words. Doesn't Jesus say that? But when, verse 19, they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall say or speak, for it shall be given you. That's a gracious gift given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak. I spoke. No, it's not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The Spirit will give us the heart and desire always to confess, and the words to speak. What a promise the Lord Jesus has given us this morning. As we confess him, he confesses us. Remember that as men hate you, and as there's enmity and there's division and opposition and maybe even bodily persecution, remember Jesus' promise. Men are nothing. What are men going to do to you? Are they going to hurt your body? That's all they can do. Look at Almighty God. Seek his approval. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that way he confesses you before men, yes, before his Father which is in heaven. And as you say, I love Jesus, and I will follow Jesus, and I will deny myself for Jesus, and ungodly men come and they take you and they hurt you and they beat you and maybe throw you into prison, and there's all the chaos and the noise and the raucous. Have that heart of faith, that ear of faith, to be able to hear the lovely speech of heaven. Make sure you hear it. Jesus is saying your name before the Father which is in heaven. And as they take that whip and they lash Paul, I love Jesus, and they lash him in prison, Paul not only hears the whip, he hears the glorious speech of heaven. Jesus saying, Paul, Paul, I was lashed for your sins. Paul, I love you. He speaks to the Father. That's Jesus' promise. And then what a day on the great day of judgment, when we will appear before the Father on the day of judgment, and we will hear the blessed word of Jesus confessing us personally, him, her, I love him, I died for her. Enter now into the rest of the Father. Jesus gives a promise to us this morning, a beautiful promise to those who confess him, carrying the cross Jesus gives us. Confess. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for these words of Jesus spoken so long ago to the disciples, and how they must have listened so intently and must have been struck by the clarity and the power of the words and the demands placed upon them and the dangers they would face, but especially the power they would receive from Jesus to be faithful. And now, Lord God, this morning, as we have heard a confession of faith and we have all been reminded of our duty, our obligation to confess Jesus, which is not merely an obligation, it is something we desire and love to do. We are also encouraged by the great promise of Jesus to us and the heavenly speech that thou dost hear. Lord, encourage us. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.